Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. If you're listening in the Madison area, we welcome you once again to this broadcast. If you're listening in another state by computer as it streams even into the nations of the world, anywhere you're hearing this broadcast, we are so glad that you have tuned in. And if you're a regular listener, we welcome you back. If you're a new listener, please stay tuned. We're going to be talking about some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful good news in a world that is filled with so much bad news. The Rambos wrote a song years ago. Dottie Rambo wrote a song that said the world needs some good news bad. And that's exactly what is contained in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The very term gospel means good news. Hallelujah. And we used to sing that great song, the old gospel ship. I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. My joy with you I'll share. And we want to share our joyous expectation of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And we've been talking about how to be ready for the coming of Jesus and living in that state of readiness and expectation. Jesus taught, "Be ye also ready, for in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh." And today we're going to be talking about looking for a city. The title of this message is really based on an old camp meeting song that we used to sing. Praise God. Amen. And I pray today that before this broadcast is over, that if you're a Christian and you've got so busy or sidetracked that you have forgot that Jesus' coming is very, very soon, and that we are headed to a place. Heaven is not a state of mind. It is not something impractical, something surrealistic or spiritual to the degree that it is not absolutely practical, a place. Jesus is going to prepare a place for us. And the Bible describes that place. Hallelujah. The holy city, the new Jerusalem. So we want you to stay tuned as we talk about these wonderful truths. And we bring some hope in the midst of a troubled, troubled world. Amen. And if you would like to visit our website, I want to make this announcement before we go to our scripture today. Just type in THCOG, those letters, THCOG, that stands for the Holy Church of God. And we are affiliated with Independent Assemblies of God International, have been in good standing with them since 1974. Praise God. A long, long time ago. And I have been pastor of the Holy Church of God here in Tampa for 34 years. And we're marking time as we continue on to serve the Lord with everything we are and everything that we have. So if you'd like to visit our website, we would be glad that you do. We received a prayer request and from a dear brother recently, and you can email us there, and we will pray about your need if you would like us to. We serve a great and glorious God. Hallelujah. And we have a small group of people, but we have a prayerful people, and we pray from our heart, and we're just so happy to still be together after all of these years and to see God moving like He is right now. Praise the Lord. So we welcome you. If you'd like to tune in Sunday right here on WMAF from 12 until 1 for Sunday Morning Alive, just a live service that is just as it is, with any bloopers or pops or squeals from the microphone, it's all there. But what overrides all of those things is the anointing of the Holy Spirit as we take God's word and clearly delineate it and preaching the gospel. So we want you to tune into that broadcast. Great programming all the way around. This is a family-friendly station that we are so glad to be affiliated with. And we're glad for the gospel portion, glad for the classic country and quartets and classic quartet music. We're just glad for all of it. It's a great station to tune in and leave your dial set right here all day long and be blessed by it. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles today, please turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 14, and let's begin to read the words of Jesus. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, there's a scripture in Colossians chapter 3, and it reads this way, verses 1, 2, and 4. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not of the things of the earth. Mortify, therefore, your members upon the earth. Amen. That means to live and walk in the Spirit and not be governed and influenced by the flesh anymore, because we have been raised with Him, buried with Him, and raised with Him to walk in the newness of life. That's what water baptism is all about. It's signifying a spiritual event that has taken place in our life when we receive Christ as our personal Savior, buried with Him, going beneath the water. That's why we do believe in immersion, going beneath those waves, going beneath the water, and then being raised up again, buried with Him, the old man, the old life, the old sins that stained us and enslaved us are gone forever. Hallelujah. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus, buried with Him in baptism, but raised with Him to walk in the newness of life. Praise God. And part of that walking in the newness of life is that we are headed for a place. Our hearts are set on heaven. The Bible said, amen, that we should lay up our treasure, the teaching of Jesus again, in heaven, where the thief can't break through and steal it, and the moth and rust can't corrupt it. For where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart's going to be. That's why we want to keep pointing Christians heavenward, because pointing them heavenward is simply pointing them homeward. Praise God. We are looking for a city living on earth with the hope of heaven in our heart. I want to read again from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 10. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Tabernacles here is not some huge church of stone and mortar. Literally, it means tents. Incredible. The word is used again in the New Testament for a tent. Paul said, if this earthly tabernacle were blown down by a strong wind, we have one in heaven not made with hands. He's in essence saying that this earthly life is lived in a temporary dwelling called the body. And if that body is destroyed because of age, because of accident, because of incident, we have one in the heavens not made with hands. Amen. Wherefore, he said, we yearn not to be naked, but to be clothed upon with our body from heaven, awaiting the mighty resurrection, when our spirit and this very body are going to be rejoined, so that we live with Christ forever in the body we now possess. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why it's important to understand, amen, that Abraham lived in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Listen to verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I like the Amplified. It said, for he was waiting expectantly and confidently, looking forward to the city which has fixed and firm foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Hallelujah. We used to sing the old camp meeting hymn, looking for a city yonder where we'll never die. There the sainted millions will never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew. You know, Abraham was one of the richest men who lived in his day. God had blessed him with many wonderful blessings. He could have built him a place that would knock your eye out. Amen. But he didn't. He lived in tents. He didn't want for anything. It's just the way he chose to live out his faith, because he, as the scripture said, was looking for a city. Amen. Nothing in this world could satisfy him. Nothing of this world's goods could satisfy him. He was looking beyond this world. He clearly understood that death is going to cancel everything that this old world can give you, but it isn't going to cancel what I just read you that Jesus taught. Amen. That I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Abraham was looking for that city that is prepared for the saints of God. Hallelujah. If I were to write a book about how far we've drifted from the faith, and that was once delivered to the saints, one chapter would certainly be titled, Whatever Happened to Heaven? Whatever Happened to Heaven? The worldly church will reflect the exact values of the world system. They too are looking for a city, but it's not the New Jerusalem. It is Babylon. C.S. Lewis said, aim at heaven and you'll get the earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. Abraham, though a very rich man, never felt at home in this world. He lived with heaven in view. And we, as God's children, if you're a Christian, should be looking for the same city, because it is not temporal, it is eternal. Hebrews 13 and verse 14 says, here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Praise God. You know, in the New Testament, the apostle says, I beseech you, brethren, as pilgrims and strangers, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against your soul. He wanted the Christians to see themselves as strangers, aliens to this world, but to see themselves simultaneously as citizens of that world. The Bible literally says, for our conversation is in heaven. And that means our literal citizenship is in heaven. There's a book there that lists all the citizens of heaven, and you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to have your name in that book of heaven's citizens. Hallelujah. Amen. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the moment you become a Christian, your name is pinned into that book. I don't believe that's a spiritual metaphor. I honestly believe there is a book, and I believe there's an angel with a pen in his hand. And I believe when Robert A. Venable came to Jesus Christ, he pinned my name in that book, and it stands in that book. Hallelujah. Amen. Before I get home to heaven, I am recognized here upon the earth as one of heaven's citizens. We're here as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Amen. And believe it or not, your home, whether it be in a mansion or whether it be a humble home, amen, if you're a Christian, this is, amen, where an ambassador of Jesus lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm so thrilled today to be able to declare unto you that there is a place waiting for us. There is a city prepared for us to live in eternally. Amen. And your home is an embassy where an ambassador lives who's already, amen, a citizen in terms of our citizenship. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sin has brought death and heartache to this fallen world. In this world, death cancels all hopes and dreams. It breaks all relationships and severs all ties. But in that city, it is eternal, and we are too. Nothing will ever break, amen, our relationships again. A little girl was walking with her father in the country. No neon signs, no automobile headlights or street lamps marred the stillness of the crisp evening. And as she looked into the deep blue velvet sky studded with an array of diamonds like stars, which put the most dazzling Tiffany display to shame, she said, "Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what do you think the right side will be like?" I like that. Dottie Rambo wrote, "Teardrops will never stain the streets of that city. No wreaths of death on my mansion door. See, Abraham longed for that city. And we, as Abraham's seed and as children of the Most High God, we should long for it too. John saw the city and gave us a detailed word picture. And for time's sake, I'm going to just give a synopsis. But it's in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. That whole chapter is dedicated to giving us a revelation of the city that we're going to live in eternally. Amen. And this is how John describes it. It had a great high wall in Revelation 21, beginning with verse 12. With 12 gates, with three gates, each on the east, the north, and the south. 12 gates each on the east, north, and south. With 12 angels at the gates, with 12 tribes of Israel's names inscribed upon the gates, with 12 foundations, with the 12 apostles' names inscribed on the foundations. The measurement of the city was listed, the gates and the wall, in Revelation 21, 15 through 17. The angel had a golden reed to measure them. The city is laid out in a cube. Its length, breadth, and height are each 12,000 furlongs, literally 1,500 miles cubed, the distance from Orlando to Denver, Colorado. The wall is 144 cubits, which means 216 feet, either high or thick. The construction of the city, the wall, its foundations, the gates, in Revelation 21, 18 through 21, the wall was of jasper. The city was of pure gold like clear glass. The 12 foundations of the wall were adorned with precious stones. And I won't read them all, but there's jasper there and topaz and amethyst and beryl and emerald. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate carved out of one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Imagine the colors, with the varying shades of green, red, and blue, gold, and clear crystal. Truly a great city beyond our comprehension, but always worthy of our contemplation. You know, we should be focused upon our long home. This is a short life. I'm telling you, I'm 61 years old, and I have entered the world of a senior citizen, and it's been a quick trip to get here. And from everyone I've talked to, it's going to be a quicker trip as we carry on. Praise God. But I'm telling you something, I'm getting closer to my long home. Amen. David talked about a long home. The scriptures talked about a forever place. Praise God. And the saints of old were kept pure and filled with hope because of their faith in the promise of eternal life and joy with God above. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16, listen to it. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed, listen to this, that they were pilgrims and strangers upon the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them, listen to this, a city. Praise the Lord. Verse 13 says, every one of those people died, in one translation, but they still had faith. Even though they had not received what they had been promised, they were glad just to see these things from far away. And they agreed that they were only strangers and foreigners on this earth. When people talk this way, it's clear that they are looking for a place to call their own. If they had been talking about the land where they had once lived, they could have gone back at any time, but they were looking forward to a better home in heaven. That's why God wasn't ashamed for them to call him their God. He even built a city for them. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. There are many mansions, many abiding places. May we, who are the disciples of Jesus Christ, allow the vision seen by John to excite us and encourage us to remain faithful until we walk through those pearly gates. Hallelujah. Listen then to these words out of Revelation 22, verse 12 through 17. And behold, I come quickly, Jesus said, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Jesus have sent mine angel to testify unto thee these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Praise the Lord. It's like God would not close the book unless there was a last invitation given. And I have just read that mighty invitation. Amen. The church should be seeking to be evangelistically effective. The Christian should be saying, come. The bride should say, come. And let he that heareth say, come. And whosoever is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I pray today, amen, as you hear us talking about the place we're going to live as Christians, if you're not a Christian, that you will join us, that you will come to Jesus for this water of life that guarantees you heaven to be your long home. I pray you won't live with death looming over you and the fear of death tormenting you in a world that's passing away. The Bible said that one of the great incentives, or the great incentive for the Christian to live with heaven in view, is because the world is passing away. The Bible said to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That does not mean to not enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Scripture said the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he hath made for man. And God made this a beautiful world. He's talking about the world system that doesn't have or acknowledge God in it, that lives for the moment and doesn't take into account that we're headed for eternity. Love not the world, the scriptures teach, neither the things that are in the world, for the world passes away. That word passes means transient. It's in a state of constant decay and change. It's not going to stay the same. Nothing is going to stay the same. You're not going to stay young. You're not even going to stay middle-aged. Friends, you're not even going to stay alive in this world. But you can live forever in the world to come. Hallelujah. That's the promise of eternal life. And what a promise it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life, and to live it in an eternal city, the New Jerusalem, the city of God. Hallelujah. We need to be living in the light of Christ's coming. Let us live here with heaven in view. Let us travel light. This world is not our home. We are indeed only passing through. Every passing day brings us closer home, for it is indeed a highway to heaven. Whatever happened to heaven, it's still hovering somewhere up there, waiting for God to send His Son for His bride. And then the New Jerusalem, friend, is coming down. Hallelujah. And there's going to be a new heaven, and there's going to be a new earth, praise God. And an angel John saw is going to put one foot on the land and one foot upon the sea and say, time shall be no war. Time as we know it is going to give way to eternity. Hallelujah. What God offers us through Jesus Christ is absolutely beyond my ability or anyone else's to fully describe. But what we can tell you is that God has loved us enough to give His Son to die on an old rugged cross, a suffering, painful death, a horrendous death, taking our place so He could take our sins and grant us a standing before God that is absolutely beyond reproach, impeccable, something that the enemy of our soul, the accuser of the brethren, cannot possibly overcome. Praise God. We've been bought with a price, and it's nothing less than the precious blood of Jesus, so that we can live in a place that He has prepared for you and for me. If you've got loved ones that you have lost, maybe even this year, maybe a child that has fallen victim to some accident or incident that this fallen world has, that is so full of death, can create. Isn't it comforting to know, amen, that if that loved one was saved, or that child certainly who wasn't old enough to account for sin, is in the presence of God in this wonderful place that John described to us. To know that death is not going to end it, that we're going to go to that place and live with them and live with Him, Jesus, forever and forever, age without end. Praise God. Our salvation, it encompasses such a tremendous future. Something way beyond our wildest dreams awaits us, just beyond this veil of flesh and this short span of earthly existence. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, I urge you today to receive Him. The Spirit is saying, come right now. I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Spirit is speaking to someone. This gospel, when it goes forth, the Spirit of God goes with it wherever that it goes. Hallelujah. And I believe that God is sending His Word to you today. I don't believe it's an accident that you've listened to the end of this broadcast. I believe God has just held you to hear this call right now to come to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Would you just pray right now if you don't know Him, Jesus Christ? I want to live in that city. I don't want to fear death anymore. I want to be ready for your coming, and I want to be ready to come to you. Lord, forgive my sins. I receive you. I'm sorry for them, Lord, but I can't change my past. But I can ask your forgiveness right now. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me, a sinner. I repent before you. Come into my heart. Save my soul. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today, let me become a citizen of that place you prepared. Oh, that tonight I might sleep like I've never slept, and I might get up with a brand new perspective on life. And Christian, today, would you begin to look up? Your redemption's drawing nigh. Would you begin to rearrange your priorities? Would you begin to live for heaven and live for Him and lead others to Him while we got a little time left to do that. We love you today. Our time is gone. Why don't you come back next week? I'll be looking for you, and let's talk about Jesus.